that shaking martini signals it's time for another episode of the Gamer Mafia Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Gamer Mafia Podcast. This is Tom, your host, with
John.
Hello.
The other host. And you'll forgive me if I seem a little peaked this installment. So we had a long weekend, went to a couple of parties with some coworkers of mine. I work in reality television and was invited to a birthday party and then just sort of a, you know, get together and chill kind of party with a couple of people that I work with. And John came along as well. And the experience of these two parties got John and I talking and thinking about this whole idea of when worlds collide, when you introduce your friends to another group of your friends, and it can be a nerve-wracking thing.
Right, yeah. Sometimes, you know, when the different circles meet, sometimes it doesn't go very well, or sometimes it can go very well.
Right, and so we'll start with Friday, and we'll start with, you know, this guy's party that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was pretty chill, and it was just over at his apartment, and his apartment is pretty cool. It's kind of got this, I don't know, what would you say? How would you say it, John? This kind of...
Kind of fun, bargain basement...
It's like thrift store chic or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
And how they've decorated it. And it's got a lot of, like, I don't know, old game boards
mm-hmm.
that they hang on the wall as art pieces. And, you know, that sort of stuff. And it was really cool. And everyone there was, you know, we all kind of did separate into our little cliques.
Right.
But there was no, like...
No animosity or anything,
right.
No unpleasantness, just kind of how things broke down.
Right.
And just for full disclosure here, your coworker who had this party, he actually just started gaming with us.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, that was also a nerve-wracking thing too. And we'll get to that specifically, like how this sort of ties into gaming. And I think everybody out there who, you know, has done some RPG understands when you introduce somebody brand new to a group, you know, the pitfalls that... you know, that has you skipping around, hoping that it's all going to work out. So that was Friday night. And that was, you know, again, like I said, we all sort of separated into our cliques, but, you know, a little martini, little beer, you know, that always helps warm up things.
A little hummus.
Exactly. And it was a cool party and it was real chill. And that was an example of how mixing of worlds, you know, worked out just fine. And then came Saturday.
Slightly different.
It was a birthday party for another coworker of mine. And she had invited a bunch of her friends, obviously, and it was at this karaoke bar down in Koreatown. And the setup of the place, first of all, I mean, it is this bar, right? And then you rent out a little room. And when we say little, we mean like closet size, you know.
Right.
New York apartment, sort of
mm-hmm.
tiny little echoey chamber. And it was packed with a lot of her friends who were, I don't know, how would you describe it?
To be diplomatic, they were obnoxious.
Right. Well, you know, I said the only thing that was missing from the evening were Greek letters on the wall.
Yeah.
They were... You know, aging sorority chicks.
And frat boys.
And frat boys. And, you know, who thought that karaoke meant screeching your way through the entire Bon Jovi playbook. And, you know, Aerosmith and Whitesnake and, you know, all the hair metal bands. And just yelling as loud as you can for 3 hours.
And it was just, it just got really tedious. It
right.
just got really tedious, really, really fast.
Right. On top of everything, too, John seemed, you got, like...
Right. Well, with this sort of setup, you basically have, you have the room, and you have a big, huge monitor that and a machine that you kind of like, you know, like a DVR box, and you have like this big remote, and you type in the number on the remote of what song you want to sing next, and you can cue it up. And apparently I was the only one who paid attention mm-hmm. when the guy showed us how to use the very simple machine. So I kept getting shouted at, put down 9948, woo!
Exactly.
9948, woo! 99, woo! Why don't you put it in? And it was just like, after a while, I'm like, you know what? You can put the number in.
Right. And so, you know, John and I, and then another coworker of mine, the three of us were kind of seated in our little peanut gallery,
mm-hmm.
Making our little, you know, comments to keep us at least entertained for the evening while we endured this purgatory. And that's, you know, was an example, obviously, of worlds colliding, the experiment kind of going sour, because, you know, you start to rethink this person's judgments.
Well, because the company you keep is a reflection of how you see yourself.
Right.
And this coworker of yours is similar to a friend of mine who, for a while, had really poor taste in friends.
Oh, yeah.
People who didn't really value her very well, people who were just really obnoxious. And
mm-hmm. and just downright stupid.
And just downright dumb. And just like, and beneath, in my way, kind of beneath her,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, because I'm all for fun, I'm all for hanging out, I'm all for having a good time. But I'm also all for, like, sharing the spotlight with people and,
mm-hmm.
and finding out what other people do and being interested in what other people are thinking and saying and doing, what their interests are, as opposed to just rattling off on my own, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I know this is L.A. and this town is full of people like that.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So, yeah, I mean, in our experience as gamers, as big nerds, and as gay men,
it is very difficult and sometimes treacherous when your gaming buddies and your gaming friends
mm-hmm.
meet and interact with your non-gaming buddies and your non-gaming friends.
Right.
Because there have been times, often, when we have like a birthday party or a Christmas party or a Halloween party that we will invite a lot of people. And, of course, we invite the people who we spend our time with, which would be our coworkers,
mm-hmm.
our friends, and then, of course, there's our gaming friends that we meet with at least twice a month.
Right. And within that group, you know, I think we know who might
right.
be a little problematic. You know, if y'all are listening, forgive me. you know, we're not going to name any names or anything, but I would say two of them have some social
awkwardness.
One has a bit of a chip on his shoulder when it comes to women, and when he is in conversation with women, sometimes inappropriately aggressive.
Well,
will spout out.
He will say things that are a little gruff and uncouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's a bad person. It's not that he's not a nice person. It's just that socially he's a little awkward.
Right.
And at a party, which is all social all the time,
right.
that can exacerbate that.
Right. And our other friend is kind of a... Well, he operates on this, I'm going to oppose whatever the argument is and whatever side you're on, I'm going to immediately oppose that. And I mean, that's a very common kind of gamer trait.
The devil's advocate.
Well, yeah, and in dealing with a GM, you know, well, you want us to go right, so I'm going to go left. You want me to go up, I'm going to go down. You know, you want us to investigate that room. Well, I'm going to investigate this room over here. It's like,
right.
it's that...
contrary
right,
personality.
Contrary personality. And in group settings, when people aren't used to this way of this guy...
right.
You know, it can freeze the room. It can bring in that, you know, virtual record scratch that ends the... you know, that ends the conversation abruptly. leaving for some uncomfortable silences or WTF looks. Right. Who is this freak and why is he hanging out with, you know, Tom and John, who aren't like that at all. So, I mean, it is. I mean, it's you know, it can be very nerve-wracking, and I think we're aware of it.
Yeah.
I think we're aware of it. I think we're acutely aware of it because, you know, as gamers, you know, and I run this game, and we are introducing new people, and, you know, every game I run, I always, I don't know, try to recruit or see if anybody else that I've, you know, that has fallen on by the wayside are still out there, and if they're still gaming or if they're still looking for a group, and I always try to integrate new people. And every time we do and try to integrate that new person, there is always that first, you know, that fear, that feeling that, oh, this guy is not going to work or this girl is not going to work.
Right.
You know, case in point, not that it ended badly at all. In fact, you know, I think it turned out really great, but we did introduce this guy, you know, we call him Sam. I'm currently playing a Mutants Masterminds game, and, you know, he came over to create his character, and he was asking John and I about our relationship. Well, actually, no, he wasn't. He was sort of asking around it.
Right.
He was asking me questions like, you know, so are you guys roommates? You know, and kind of looking toward the den, because you can sort of see the den directly from the seat that he was sitting in, you know, and obviously right. Putting two and two together, oh, it's a two-bedroom apartment, but there's only one bedroom. And I could just sense the realization sort of melt into him without us coming out and saying it, and I'll say I felt an awkwardness from him. I mean, I felt like he was really uncomfortable,
right,
with the idea. So I was wondering if he was even going to show up to the gaming session, you know, right. After we'd finished creating the characters. But he did, you know, he had a great time. Showed up last time too, so he's been for two sessions. So, you know, maybe I was reading something into it that wasn't there, or he just, you know, had that first sort of, oh, I got to take this in moment. Right. But once he did, he was perfectly fine with it.
Well, and also it could be one of those things that he doesn't have a lot of out gay guys in the gaming groups he's played with before.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's face it, the, you know, role-playing games of the non-dungeon variety involving, you know, harnesses and paddles
right.
aren't very common amongst the gay community. So, you know, it would stand to reason that he probably hasn't gamed with gay men or gay or lesbians before.
Right.
So, you know, so it's probably something that's he's not used to, and gamers not necessarily being the most socially adept or savvy.
Right.
You know, sometimes need to have things kind of spelled out for them, and sometimes they need extra time to let things sink in.
Right.
But once they do, they just roll with it.
Right. Or they can be the complete opposite, in which they don't have that internal censor.
Right.
In which, you know, I mean, and sometimes I'm, you know, I brace myself for the question, like, so what are you two, just, you know, faggots or what? Like,
right.
You know, you know, approaching 40 and still it's like I get that worry, you know,
right,
that somehow, I don't know, I'm gonna make somebody feel uncomfortable.
And you know, because it's when deep down, like, we are concerned about other people, want to make sure they have a good time, want to make sure they're enjoying themselves, and that first compunction is to make sure that you're not making someone unduly uncomfortable,
right.
But you're not making someone unduly uncomfortable by just being who you are. It's not like we're walking around in assless chaps wearing, you know, with 6-inch heels with feather boas going, girl, did you listen to that Judy Garland album? Girl, please. You know, that's not how we are.
No.
You know?
No.
So, okay. Along those lines of mixing the two groups, it goes the other way. It's when you introduce your gaming world to the non-gaming world.
Mm-hmm.
I've had experiences with coworkers that when I've mentioned to them that I play role-playing games, the reactions are usually varied. They range from the, dude, I haven't played that in so long, oh, wow, that's awesome,
mm-hmm.
to does that involve, like, spanking people?
Right, exactly. Where they hear role-playing games, and they think it's something sexual.
They think, like, I'm the Roman centurion, and you're this love slave.
Exactly. They've never heard of the hobby. Or, I mean, everyone's heard of Dungeons & Dragons, but they think, you know, oh, do you dress up? Or, did you know anybody who committed suicide? Or, you know, like, they're still stuck in those, that weird period of the 70s in which, you know, early 80s when all this, you know, bad stuff was happening around the game. Right. The era of, you know, of Mazes and Monsters, that, you know, classic crappy Tom Hanks movie, you know, that they're sort of stuck in that.
Right.
That image of what the hobby is, you know, when it's nowhere near.
You get this wide kind of variety, and it is all, it's almost like, you know, again, it's like you don't want to make people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that whole thing of, like, bracing for impact once the cat's out of the bag, or when you tell people this is your hobby.
Right.
And it's kind of like, you know.
Right. But I gotta tell you, though, the one great thing about this particular hobby, I mean, and it's almost unlike, you know, if it's baseball or, like, you're part of some amateur bowling league or some sports related. I mean, the rules are pretty set in stone. You know, you pick up the big heavy ball and you go up to the line and you roll it down.
And you try to knock over pins.
So everybody understands that, like, this is the structure of our pastime. And it becomes, you know, it can become sort of, you know, you get focused in on that, right? When in role playing, it is very social. I mean, it has to be. Right. It's not just, you know, scoring points or, you know, catching a ball or running around bases. You know, you're talking to people the whole time.
Or it's not like you're playing cards and you're trying to get the best suit, or mm-hmm. you're trying to get the best hand. It is more amorphous. It's not just, you know, it's not just like a board game where you're just, like, going from the start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like any other kind of hobby where you have a very kind of, like, you have a very tactile thing in front of you you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
With this, it's all with words and all with your imagination.
Right. And another friend of ours who never played, but, you know, has joked about it that, you know, he wants to sit in on a game and at some point or what have you. You know, he asked me once, he goes, so you just invite these strangers over to your house, right? And you sit around this table and you speak in these funny voices and you sort of play act in front of these relatively, you know,
mm-hmm.
unknown people. And he goes, that's really ballsy. That's really, you know, kind of scary to do, don't you think? And I never really looked at it. I never really saw it that way. Because it is. I mean, it is sort of this, you know, leap of faith, or, you know, it's kind of a trusting thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, say, like bowling or like any other sports or cards, I mean, there are these sets of rules, right, of how the game is played. But at the same time, too, you are sort of trusting that everybody will accept your, you know, acting or your, you know, ability to react appropriately to a certain, you know.
Right.
The goblin's running at you, so you, you know.
Right.
React accordingly. I guess what I'm getting at is, I think this hobby actually does help break ice, and helps, I think, develop in some may say, an ironic sense, actually helps your social skills.
Mm-hmm.
Where many, you know, stereotypically the you know, devotees of this hobby may not at first glance have great social skills.
Right.
You know, I think it does. It helps us adjust.
Because role-playing games are basically structured social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to work together.
Right.
As a group in order to, you know, as a party of characters in order to go through the story and solve these puzzles or deal with the obstacles that come in your way. So you have to be social. You have to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. You have to work together. You have to realize who is, you know, in order to compensate for people's weaknesses and in order to work together as a group. Mm-hmm. And just to see how that group dynamic is, sometimes, you know, there's the people who hog the spotlight and sometimes there are people who shrink into the shadows and who don't want to come out because either they're unwilling to or they just don't want to.
Right.
You know, and which is exactly the same thing, mirrors what we went through at the karaoke bar. Mm-hmm. Basically, how we've done karaoke before is that it's a group experience.
Yes.
Where we've had a bunch of friends come over, we've rented a karaoke machine, and we've just basically like took turns singing songs. And then we've had friends who don't sing, who don't do karaoke, but just come and just to watch and to hang out and to cheer us on. And it is this very group communal sort of thing where we all are working together.
Right.
With the karaoke experience, probably one of the reasons why we found it so irritating was that there was like four to five people who just hogged the spotlight the entire time.
Right.
And who did things in the most generic, mind-numbing sort of way, easy possible of doing the cheap way of making a laugh, cheap way of doing a song, cheap way of just being entertaining as opposed to like having just genuine fun.
Right.
They just decided to showboat in the most lamest way possible.
Right.
Which is so against a lot of, which is against like good role playing, because good role playing is being creative with the situations that are presented with you and working together as a group.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and laugh at this hobby if you want. If you don't, you know, if you don't get it, you don't understand it, you think we're just a bunch of nerds. Really, I do think that it's helped us. It helps us. You know, just be better social animals. So yeah, it's a good thing. Okay, we're gonna wrap it up. This concludes the fourth installment of the Gamer Mafia podcast. This is Tom.
This is John.
And the tagline of the week is:
at least we bathe.
Thank you all for listening. Until next week. Sayonara.
And good gaming.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Thanks
a
lot.
I like that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, if you'd like to contact us with some of your stories about being a gay geek, you can at info@gamermafia.com. GAYMERMAFIA.com.